Evan, what's up, man?
Not much. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you?
I am, yeah.
It's good to have you back, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a while.
We had a great show. Show with you like a little more than a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's like a year and a half ago.
You've been busy.
Yeah, I have. A lot has happened since then.
Where do you want to start? Well, hang on. Before you start, let me share everybody. So everybody who doesn't really know who you are, they get a sense of it. But on IG, you can find him at Evans_workshop. His website is evansworkshop.ca. He's got a new YouTube channel now, In the Shop with Evan. Check it out. You just launched that?
Yeah, it was a little over a year. It's actually been like a year exactly.
How many videos you got up there now?
Oh, I've just been posting like all my shorts from my reels from Instagram. But nice. I think probably 200 maybe.
And then you can reach him on his, what's the iCloud? That's your email. evansworkshop@icloud.com.
Yeah.
But are you, like, other than IG, you're on TikTok too, or no?
So I tried TikTok like a while ago, but like I never.
It's a pain.
It is a pain. I haven't really.
Twitter worth it? No.
I'm not even on Twitter.
Nah, YouTube is what. Just go to YouTube Shorts. YouTube Shorts are doing really well these days. Yeah. I've gotten tired of IG.
Yeah, but I'm pretty much only on IG. So that's what I know. But
haven't you not noticed, like, maybe you haven't noticed, but the older trades. I've been getting a lot of messages from trades saying, listen, I'm sorry for the late reply on the message. It's been like months since they reply. And they're like, I'm disconnecting from social. Yeah. And I actually feel a lot better. So I think they're just focusing on their personal lives, which is great to do that, right?
People need a break. Yeah. I get that.
So where do you want to start? Well, hang on. Sorry. I got to interrupt you again. Dan Wall. I'm wearing Dan Wall's shirt, Clay Construction. I got his tee that he's giving me today, right? Over 630 shows. The Construction Life. This show is constantly evolving. The idea is that I'm listening to the guests and I'm listening to our audience and I'm trying to figure out where else can we take the conversation. Listen, I understand. It's not always about swinging the hammer. I've told everybody since day one, TCL is 50% about swinging the hammer and TCL is 50% about the person swinging the hammer. So now we're taking it to the next level, level X. In TCLX, we invite guests to share their dark, hidden secrets of the industry without fear of reprimand. Each guest's identity will be protected with visual blurring and voice modification, allowing them to speak freely and openly. You might want to tune in to TCLX. It'll be exclusive. You'll have to find it where the real hard stories are going to be told and nothing's off limits. Because at The Construction Life, the truth matters. Book now to be a guest on the show. You can DM me through any of the social platforms. You can email me at info@theconstructionlife.com or you can text me at 416-433-5737. TCLX is coming soon. That's it. Okay, now, no more interruptions. Now you can start.
So I guess the last time I see her was like a year and a half ago and a lot has happened since then. Well, now I'm in grade 11 and almost
you're grade 9 last
year? Yeah, I was grade 9 last time, so a lot has happened since then.
You're almost going to graduate.
Almost, next year. It's crazy.
What's post going to look like?
I'm not sure yet, but probably like university, like some sort of business degree I'm thinking
smart.
Of.
Smart?
Yeah. And then I'll see what happens from there. Other than that, I don't really have that much planned.
Think you're going to get overwhelmed by the school and not tinker with the tools?
Oh, no, I'm always going to be tinkering with the tools. Tinkering with the tools in school, too. I take shop.
I want you to go post.
Yeah.
And then go... bring a book in, but make sure you put a lot of sawdust and then be at the front of the row and just open it up and let all the sawdust fall right in front of the prof.
Be like, what is this?
You go, it's my side hustle. Yeah. That's what it is, right? Yeah. Maybe he knows what sawdust is all about, but
maybe
that would be kind of funny.
That would.
Because I'm assuming you're probably going to be studying in the shop.
Yeah.
That's most likely. If you're going to continue doing shop work and then you're going to be doing studying, then the two are going to overlap, right?
Oh, eventually, yeah. Usually I just study in my room, though.
Then build a desk while you're at it. Bring your own desk.
I built a desk.
I know you
built a while ago.
You built a bunch of. You built a clock.
Yes.
What was all that about?
So that I was scrolling on Instagram. So okay, so let's bring it back a little bit. Like I'm into watches. Obviously, I don't have money to buy like a nice watch yet. But like when I'm older, I aspire to have like a nice Rolex or two. But I was looking at watches, and one of my favorites is a Submariner. It's called like the Smurf. It's got like the blue dial, blue bezel.
I watch a movie called Deep.
Okay, I will.
Old 70s movie. I don't know if you... Oh, okay.
But, and so this is around the same time I just got a laser machine from X-Tool. So I was like, what can I do to put those two together? And I was like, I'm going to build a clock. So it's also like a CNC project. So I cut like the dial and the bezel out on the CNC. And I cut like all the intricate little pieces on the laser. I cut them out of like 1/8 inch MDF.
Was it easy to do all the programming?
Yeah, it's pretty easy because like you pretty much like type in the text and just find the font and like get the size right. But like it's kind of just a pain because there's a lot of little pieces like you don't really realize until you're actually building it. And then also is also a huge pain painting all those little pieces because the MDF just sucks up all the paint.
Yeah, sponge.
So much paint.
Here's the question. Did you use the true Rolex fonts?
I don't know if it's a true Rolex font, but I know it looks pretty similar.
Looks very similar, yeah? Yeah, no, it looked pretty real. It looked pretty close to what it was. I mean, it's a lot bigger. What is it, about 16 or 18 inches diameter?
I think it's 20 in diameter.
Oh, is it? It was that much bigger? Wow.
Yeah, I hung it up right above my desk in my room.
Working?
Yeah, I put like a little like cheap, I know. Like, clock.
I know, I did it way wet. I did one way wet. Not as fancy as that, though. Yeah. We didn't have CNT. We barely had tools back then, right? We had rocks to cut wood. That's what we had, right? Rocks, no, that's good. What else have you been building?
Oh, I've been building a lot. So right now, one of my big projects, I'm building a blackjack table. Yeah.
Full
one.
Six?
It's 64 by 32. It's a semicircle. It's for my basement because me and my friends, we like to play cards. So I'm getting into that too.
So you got to get the felt? You're going to have the drink holders and everything?
So I do have cup holders, but I'm not putting felt.
Okay.
So because the top I'm doing, it's a big walnut slab. And I'm doing like a thin layer of green epoxy. And I'm going to be putting things in the epoxy, then clear over it, like some poker chips, like some cards. Like, it's just going to be really cool. I'm really excited.
So you're only doing half? Like a half circle?
Yeah.
That's what I saw recently when you were putting it together, right?
Yeah.
Where you cut it.
It's the base.
So why not do the other half like a roulette or something like that?
Could, yeah. But like, I'm going to sit up like this. Like,
You're going to sit at the flat.
And yeah, I'm the dealer.
You're going to have three people, I guess?
Five.
Five on the round?
Yeah, it's a big, big table.
Wow. So you're dealing? You don't want to play?
I'll play. We can always swap. Like, me and my friends can, like, rotate.
What kind of chairs are you going to use? Are you going to use stools? Or?
That I'm not sure. I kind of got to figure that out soon.
You could build the chair.
I could.
That's a little more challenging, right, at that point?
It's already a big project.
You start bending wood yet? Steaming?
Did
you build a steamer or anything?
No, I haven't steamed anything. I've just been, like, I've been using, like, 3/4 plywood. I cut, like, a bunch of semicircles, and I put, like, how would I, like, trying to figure out. Like these like posts kind of that like separate them. There's four.
Yeah.
And there's one big piece of plywood in the middle. And then I, on like the outer like edge, I'm putting like these little pieces of walnut and like circles. And it's going to look really cool.
How are you bending it? Because it's small enough to bend or you?
Yeah, it's small enough to bend.
Okay. Well, the woodworkers can go ahead and yell at me, whatever, but you could just wet the wood.
Yeah,
you can. And push it into place. Clamp it first.
Yeah.
Let it dry and then nail it, right?
Yeah, that's what Rob from Concept 13 is telling me.
Yeah.
He's like, you just wet the wood, put it on, a couple strap clamps, let it dry overnight, and then just glue it, and it'll be good.
How's Rob doing?
He's good.
Busy?
I haven't seen him in a while because I was at camp this summer. And then, it's just been a couple months since I've seen him. But
how long was the camp for?
7 weeks.
What'd you guys do at camp?
That was fun. Just like overnight camp, everything.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. With my friends for like the whole summer. But now I'm back in the shop. Back at school.
Back to school. Grade 11.
A lot of work.
That's does your school have a shop?
It does. I actually take shop. So last time I see her, I was like, I don't take the shop. I take the business side of it. But this year I was like, I'm going to take the shop. And I take it. But, funny enough, so I'm in grade 11, but there was no room in the grade 11 shop class. I'm in the grade 10 shop class.
So you had to go to 10?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But the next semester I'm in the grade 11 shop class. I talked to my guidance counselor.
But you'll be in 12. Oh, no, next semester. So you're talking about in January.
Yeah.
So technically 11 and a half, 11 and middle.
Whatever. Yeah, 11 and a half. Yeah, that's funny.
But then they had to bring you back for 10.
Yeah.
But they're teaching you the 10 course?
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so next year for grade 12, you need grade 11 as like a prerequisite.
Okay.
Technically you don't need grade 10, but I just wanted to take it. Just like, why not?
It's what fine. Do they have like a final project that they do that this is your semester? Like the whole, you guys.
Yeah. So like right now we're building like these like animals, like with like mechanisms, like you, like roll it, like the mouth goes blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
But like, we just finished like making like wooden airplanes. But like at the end of the semester, we have this thing called the final project. It's the, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like, you can like make your own thing, like start to finish.
You can just pick. You got to present it first, right?
Yeah, like you have to show them the idea, draw. That's the one thing I'm not good at, is drawing and planning. Because usually what I do is I just think of something, I just start building. Like, I don't plan, draw, none of this.
But the business world's gonna need you to draw, plan, present, get a budget, convince a client on paper, to make you pay you to. To build it, right?
As of right now, I'm just building things for me pretty much, and I can just start finish this.
I know, but you eventually at some point gonna have to make that transition
from the
business from the hobby, right?
Yeah.
And go from there. And how's the clientele? Like, are you getting a better sense of navigating, speaking to people on projects that they want and delivering, things like that?
Yeah.
Or is that still odd?
Like, it's still, I guess, a little bit off, but, like, I've been getting better at it. I think, like, also, like, part of, like, getting older is, like, I've been getting, like, more of my comfort zone a little bit. Like, just being able to talk to, like, everybody. It's, like, especially when I go to, like, these, like, maker events, like, Workbench Con, Makers Camp. Like, I can just talk. Like, I used to be, like, shy, but, like, now I can just run my mouth and just
blah, blah, blah. So what was the trick? What did you realize that you were comfortable in that environment, but you weren't comfortable in other environments? Was it the woodworking?
Well, I think the woodworking just brings everybody together at these events and stuff. And especially, like, with clients, too. Like, that's what you talk about, the woodworking. And, like, I'm very knowledgeable at the woodworking, so I can just talk and talk and talk.
Well, you know what you're going to discover is that, and I get this all the time, which is odd. I still think it's odd.
Yeah.
People want to start asking you questions outside of what you presented yourself as online, right? So they'll start, like, okay, so what are your interests outside of woodworking? What are your interests on, you know, what do you do as your hobby, or where are you going to excel in the future and stuff like that, right? That has nothing to do with woodworking.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of prepare for that, because that conversation, those questions are going to come up, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But just draw a line.
Yeah.
Because sometimes don't get political.
Yeah.
Only, you know, like, oh, crap, right? Don't. What do you think about this? Can we go back to the wood?
Yes.
Let's talk about the wood, right?
Yeah.
But that's eventually going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But that's how the social world is all about, right?
Yeah. But people on my Instagram, they like to see, like, not just woodworking, like, the other side of me. Like
your personality.
Yeah.
Who you are.
Like, yeah, they like to see me, like, out of the shop, too. Like, at camp, like the camp takes pictures of all of us, puts it on the website. Like, my mom would take them and put them on, like, my Instagram story. And people like to see that, too.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice that the camps are still going on.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. I think this is, like, my 7th or 8th summer going back.
Is there a point where you're too old?
I mean, next year I'll be a staff.
Really? So you could be a staff member?
Yeah, next year.
If you want.
If you want. But, like, I want to. It's fun.
You get paid?
Yeah, not much, but...
But still, that's kind of cool. Yeah. You start shaping minds, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. Other interesting projects? Well, no, how about what you haven't built yet that you still want? Hang on a sec. Have you finished building everything for her?
No.
Nothing? You still have that whole list?
Not the whole
list. Did you tackle any part of that list? Like, did you scratch off one?
I'm, like, halfway done one of them right now. So we're in one of them right now. So one of them right now is, like, a mini fridge bar. So it's, like, a little cabinet that goes around the mini fridge with, like, epoxy river top.
Okay,
that's so I'm almost on that. I've built the whole base, painted the ash.
What's the delay? The
oh, I just poured the top, like, literally yesterday.
Okay, this is just...
So it's almost done. It's almost done.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember a couple years ago, we were talking about, like, the big maple tree that we had in our backyard.
Yeah,
and the big, the cookies, and I someone got around to that. The wood's still drying.
So you need an assistant to schedule things for you. The wood's still drying. That wood is, like, ready for kindling, man. Like, it's dry, all right?
Yeah. So I'll get to that eventually.
So what do you just, like, do you make a list, a bulletin board? Do you have a whiteboard? Do you got, like, I got to take care of this project. I got to take care of this. Like, no?
Not really.
It's just whatever you're in the mood and and then you get in the shot.
Well, like, right now, like, my big thing is making, like, first of all, finishing her thing, which is the mini fridge bar. And then I'm also working on my blackjack table right now. So those are, like, the two things.
When do you think the table's going to be finished?
Oh, soon. Maybe, like, another...
Oh, so that just takes priority over mom?
Oh, no. Mom's thing's first. Because once
poker and vices takes over priority over mom is what you're basically
saying. Once I finish mom's thing, I can finish my thing.
Okay, I got it.
Because, like, I'm pouring the top in the basement. And, like, I'm doing, like, using, like, the same form. So once that's out of the form, I can pour the other one. So I kind of have to
finish. So you're multitasking.
Yeah.
You're multi-jigging.
Yeah.
You're figuring out. Yeah, but I remember the shop being only one size, right? The shop hasn't expanded. You haven't taken down walls yet.
No, I'm still in the garage.
Yeah, so it's just like you have limited space. No?
Yeah, I've started putting my stuff in the basement a little bit. Like not my woodworking tools, but like I know of like my laser machines in the basement. That's new since the last time I was here.
The CNC.
CNC and laser.
What do you mean laser?
So, like last time I was here, I wasn't into, like, the laser or the CNC, but just recently I got, like, laser
machines. That's what Rob used to do the table, the corners there.
Yeah.
He used a laser CNC. I was so impressed with it. Like, he did it in 2 seconds, man.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I love using my laser. I like just playing with it, doing random stuff.
Hey, homeowners and businesses, are you looking for top-notch tile and stone services you can trust and count on? Consider the expert tradesperson behind the Tile Guy GTA. Omid himself. He takes pride in delivering quality service and professional installation on time and on budget. From mosaics to large slabs to custom niches and miters, the Tile Guy GTA has you covered. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Omid and the team at the Tile Guy GTA are your go-to professionals for all your tile and stone needs. From full waterproofing solutions of every possible product to the finish, grouting details, even a hint of design recommendations when the client needs to hear the truth. Call the Tile Guy GTA today, 647-716-5062, or email them at thetileguy.gta@gmail.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's the latest and greatest new tool that you got?
A laser.
The laser one?
Yeah.
That works really well? Is it a red laser?
Sorry?
A red laser?
No. Infrared. Oh, not infrared. Just one of them's a 20-watt laser. One of them's a 40-watt laser.
I have no idea what that means.
One of them's like more powerful.
So what does that mean? The intensity of it?
Yeah.
Like so you can burn further into the material?
Pretty much. I can cut like more.
Is it like a little incandescent bulb that you just unscrew and just put it in? Or
actually, I have no clue how it works.
I have no idea. I don't know. Like Rob did it. I just saw the result of what he did. He put it into the computer. I sent him the doc, and then he was spitting it out on wood in seconds. And then I was just watching it unfold in my eyes, and I was like, what the hell is this all about, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I was impressed by it.
Yeah, I don't really know how like the laser part works, but I know how to like use the computer part.
Because the laser eats away the wood, but it leaves it a little burnt at the same time, right?
Yeah, like that's what how you get like...
Yeah, yeah. So he never colored that. He never did anything. That's how it turned out. Yeah,
just turns out like that. It's pretty cool. But like that's what I've been getting into a little bit more is like the CNC and the laser part of woodworking.
Is it weird having a laptop or a keyboard next to a tool?
A little bit.
Like it's like two things that don't belong.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like how do these go together? But like, yeah, I'm getting used to it.
You got a compressed can of air there so you can clean out all the keys?
No, what I usually do is I program my computer, like the computer inside. I put on like the flash drive, and then when I go to CNC, I just put it in the back.
Oh, and just do it that way. So then you keep everything clean on the end.
Yeah. Or else if I brought my computer into the shop, I think it would be glued together in 2 seconds.
Rob's got his computer right then and there, right? But I've never seen all the dust on it.
I also have to use my computer for school, so I can't really bring it together and like again, sawdust.
Bring in the laptop and have all the sawdust and just have it all fall down. Right? Yeah.
I don't think my teacher would like that very much.
Yeah. Do it when they're not looking. Yeah. So then they'll just question, why is there sawdust on the desk? I don't understand.
I don't know. This wasn't me.
Who brought in? Somebody confess. No. And everyone's just pointing it at you.
Yeah, like, oh, what did I do?
Do you see the possibilities now that you're kind of getting a little bit of a taste of the computer? And
oh, it's infinite possibilities. It's like it opens up like so many more doors. Because now I can do more than just like wood. Like you can engrave, you can cut, you can CNC on like more materials than just wood. It's like metal. Like you can engrave like those cups like that, logos and all that. It's cool. It really is. It's a big learning curve too. But like the softwares that I've been using for the CNC, the laser. Okay, so both my lasers run off like two separate things, and my CNC runs off like a separate one, so I kind of have to learn like all three, but like they're not that hard to use, especially the laser ones are pretty easy.
Okay, so are you attracted to the whole technology side of things because it is a cleaner act of woodworking versus doing it by hand with a tool, whether it's a hand tool or a power tool? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? Because your fit and finish is a lot more crisp?
I mean, I use them for different things. Like, I still love using my hand tools, my power tools. I just use them, like, the CNC and, like, the computer side for, like, different things. Like, I still go to, like...
You mix and match.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have, like a certain thing I use for, like, one thing. I like doing things different ways.
What's your favorite power tool?
My drum sander. I use that all the time.
How big is the drum sander that you
have? Oh, just like the 16-inch one, but like you can do like a 32-inch panel.
Yeah, it's always nice. You ever just take a piece of wood that you just want to sacrifice and just keep on doing it as if you're like grating carrots or something like that, and you just run through the whole wood?
Sometimes that happens.
Just for no purpose other than just doing it because you can't.
But then the pain, like it's a pain changing the paper. And it's like, oh, it's like not this.
Is it all on Allen key bolts on thread and then loosen it?
No, it's like these like in the drum, there's like this thing you press, you put it in, but you got to like spin it and like wrap it around. It just kind of like
it's a little more complicated. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I use the drum sander all the time. Like I have a planer and I maybe use the planer once a year.
You're always using the drum sander over that?
Always using the drum sander.
Why not just get the curse off of the wood with the planer first and then do the drum sander on finishing?
I mean, it's like my planer's like tucked away in a corner like this. Like my drum sander's like stationary in like a spot, so it's just so much easier just to run it through. It's not like I'm taking like a lot of material off. I'm just taking just like very, very thin amounts. So the drum sander for me works very well.
It's interesting you're bringing that up because I was just having a conversation with Gary from Mayer's Carpentry and they just got a new miter saw, right? So they're all Makita boys and that's just how they are. We don't have to judge them. But the old man put an older Makita miter saw up on this kind of shelf in the shop, right? And they don't want to sell it. They don't want to give it away. They just want to have it on the shelf as a kind of memento, right? Yeah. And I was like going, I don't understand this whole... And he's got a shelf now of all these older tools that they used to use. They're not using no more, but they don't want to sell it or throw it out or what have you. And I'm like, I find that a little odd. Are you going to start collecting these tools that you used to build certain things and then put them on a shelf and then just look at them going, hey, I built that with that?
I don't got room to do that.
You don't have the space for
it.
Yeah, but like your shop's going to grow one day.
One day, yeah. But like, I feel like I should probably get rid of the planer. Like, I rarely use it.
Sell it. Kijiji. Yeah. Someone might want to use it, right?
Probably.
I used to just put it to the curb. And then even before I got back into the house, it was gone.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I put, like, tools that, like, are broken on the curb. I haven't done that in a while, though.
Because someone will figure out how to fix it or take care of it, right?
Just... Oh, I remember what it was. It was my dust collector. It was, like, a small one. And it just wouldn't turn on. I bet you it was, like, probably, like, a two-second fix. I just didn't know what to do.
No, don't worry. Costco's selling a DeWalt vacuum now for $89.
Oh, really?
I think everybody's selling tools real cheap these days because nobody's buying tools these days.
Yeah, I have a lot of tools.
Are you buying tools?
No.
Are you going to the shop still and looking at, oh, that'd be kind of cool, that's nice? And
I mean, like, obviously I say that, but, like, do I really need it? No.
I think that's exactly what's going on today in the industry is that do I really need this?
Do I really need another circular saw? No, I already have three.
I'll get a blade.
Yeah.
I'll get a new blade for the old saw.
Yeah.
And then it's like a new saw.
Exactly.
That's how it's looking. Because we're just being cost conscious, man. Economical times and everything.
I need a new blade for my track saw. It's very dull.
You know what? I've got a gripe with every single track saw manufacturer out there because they specifically make an arbor size just for track saws when that should be universal on all the saws.
Yeah, I agree. Circular saws, track saws.
But they just do it just so it can jack up the price of a track saw blade versus a regular saw blade.
So I've had my track saw for... It's been maybe 3 years now. I'm still using the one that came with it because I'm just too lazy to go get a new one.
Have you hit a nail or anything?
No. It's just like I just use it so much that like the blade just dull.
You can just look at it. It'll be sharp. Don't worry. It's fine. As long as you don't hit a nail, man.
Yeah. So I have to take like more passes with it, but it still gets the job done.
Are you starting great fire?
No.
Smoke, burn, or anything?
No.
Blade's still fine.
There you go. Yeah.
It just depends on if you start using a lot of hardwoods, then that's a different story. Yeah. Then the blades are... Like, I love track saws. Track saws, I think, I don't care if it's cordless or corded. Mine's corded, and I love it.
Same, mine's also corded.
You got to still do that little dance with the vacuum hose. Mm-hmm. So if it's corded, it doesn't matter. That gets attached to the vacuum hose, in my opinion. It's nice to have the battery.
I connect my vacuum to it. Yeah. It doesn't do a perfect job, but it does, like, a pretty good job.
It reduces the amount of dust, right? But the track saws, I think they're amazing tools.
Yeah, I also use my track saw a lot more than, like, a normal person because I don't have a table saw. So I'm like, nope. I don't have room for one in my garage.
Yeah, it's true. Track saw makes more sense. You can always put out two saw horses and then put the plank and then track saw it.
Exactly. Like one day I would like to get like a smaller like job site saw, but like I'm gonna wait till I can save up for a saw stop.
What color are you gonna get?
A saw stop. If I get a table saw, it's gonna be a saw stop.
A saw stop?
Because like, you know, I'm not trying to risk my digits.
Wonder why they can't do the same technology on the miter saws.
Yeah, I use my miter saw all the time as well.
Why can't you? I guess because the motor and the guts of the machine would be too big or something?
Yeah, I don't know how that one would work. So really, they should implement that technology on like a
I'm sure they try, but I guess there's got to be a logistic reason why. You maybe won't be able to get all the cuts that you can get with a standard. Because miter saw is all about who can cut the depth the most, who can have the longest ride on the rails. Like, it's all about that. So you start adding this component to stop the saw,
it needs to take away.
I think it's going to take away. I'm not an engineer, right? So I that's my first assumption. Yeah. That's the reason why. But that's, I think the miter saw is more dangerous than the table saw. I think so. Because the table saw, you can at least be a certain distance away. It's when you're doing those stupid cuts that are too close and you're not using a push deck, right?
Yeah, as long as like on the miter saw, you have the thing like clamped down. Like, I always use the clamp that comes with it.
On the miter saw?
Yeah.
There's a clamp that comes with the miter saw?
There is. Believe it or not, there is. I use mine all the time.
I know there is, but I always don't.
Yeah.
I never use it. I use the left arm, the left hand. That's what I use, right?
I use that sometimes too. But so I was using my circular saw the other day, and I totally forgot that it had like a little fence thingy. Just like a cheap piece of metal, but
yeah,
it actually came in handy.
It's like very handy. The only thing is, it's limited to a certain like 7 or 8 inches or something like that.
Yeah, I found it. And I was like, you know what? It's actually really handy. I used it. And I was like, where's this been since I had my circular saw? It's cool. I was like, wow.
Because when you get a new tool, all these little tiny accessories are packaged nicely, perfectly from the factory.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to your job site, where do I put this little accessory thing?
That I'm only going to use like once every 3 months.
And it disappears.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And you, it reappears some time later and you're like, what was this?
Yeah, I could have used that. Happens with like everything. Screwdrivers, wrenches, Allen keys. For me, at least.
No, tracks. Well, how long's tracks? Like, your tracks are what length? Probably. You have a few, don't you?
No, I only have one.
Only like, one track length?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what is it, 10?
No, it's like 5.5 feet, maybe. I don't really cut like those, like such big things though. Like whenever I buy like sheet goods, like at Home Depot, I get them to cut it. But for, that's only so it fits in my mom's car.
Yeah, but you always have to cut it. Yeah, that's true too. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But you always have to cut it a little bit bigger than what you really needed because you can't really trust their saw or the person.
No. Sometimes it's actually been pretty accurate recently.
I still wouldn't trust it, man. Like it's a good looking saw and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't trust the apron as much.
Yeah.
That's the part of that I don't trust, right? But it's nice, and I agree with you. It's like, I don't have the van anymore. I have a car. I have to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
But kind of just like kind of a pain because like once, as I said, like I don't really plan things out. So then I have to really think, oh, I need, how am I going to get this? It's all my pieces, one sheet. How am I going to get all my pieces from that?
That's where the computer comes in.
Yeah. I haven't used that for that yet.
Have you walked around? There's actually a bunch of shops here in the area that they are fully computerized and like they will maximize the usage of a sheet good, right? Have you ever reached out to them and spoken to them and walked around?
I haven't. I know there's like programs on your computer where you can type in it all and just.
I know,
like,
but it's so much better to get into the shop that, like a working shop that does whatever projects they do. But that's what they do day in, day out, right?
Yeah.
Like they literally have machines that are pulling off of lifts the sheet goods and then drop it onto the assembly. And it's all computerized. As long as you programmed everything properly, it cuts it all out perfectly. And then you're left with zero to no waste, right?
Smart.
Which is really cool. But then they can show you, like, that'd be a good co-op, man.
That would.
To be there, right?
I learned a lot from there, for sure.
There's a few that, I mean, come. Well, there's one, I wouldn't recommend them, but no, they did a crappy job on one job I did.
Yeah.
They had to bring the fixer back in. You know, you do a finished project, it's all slick, it's all nice, it's all white oak and everything's beautiful, it's supposed to be mitered and then just glued it all put together and then it started falling apart after the assembly happening and I was just like, the client's looking at me and I'm like, dude, you hired them, man. I'm here just to supervise. I spoke up, but that's the extent of what I can do. If you want me to speak up a little louder, I can do that, but you let me know. And that was the conversation. So he lived with it and then entered the lawyers.
Oh.
That was that project.
Yeah.
It was entertaining to watch. It was like a TV show, which was
good. Oh, yeah, you must have been, like, absolutely having, like, the
it's
greatest
nice
laugh.
To be the fly on the wall and just on the side, right? Going, listen.
You're like, I told you so.
I was, I don't ever say that. Yeah. I just, like, when you get enough experience, you can see A connect to B, B connected to C. You can see everything, just the dominoes just all falling along.
Yeah.
And then all you can do is just present it and then go, this is what's potentially going to happen. And sure enough, it does happen. And then you have to deal with that, right?
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of fine woodworking, right?
Yeah.
It's always a custom one-off. It's challenging. Plus, it's also challenging to market yourself to start selling the project, right?
Well, I pretty much only do, like, one-off things. Because whenever I build one thing, somebody's like, can I get this but different? So I can never, like, make the same thing twice.
Is Rob doing all the boards still?
I think so.
Yeah?
He might be, yeah.
Assembly line action going on?
He just got, like, a really big CNC.
Oh, did he? I haven't seen him in a while. I guess since it would have been over 2 years when he did the table, would have probably been the last time.
Yeah.
Spoke to him briefly over DMs and things like that. But yeah, no, I always had a lot of respect for, have a lot of respect for Rob and everything that he's doing there and what he's building.
Yeah, I've been going to him for a long time. Since I started like woodworking, I've been going to him for like 6 years.
What's the second runner-up thing that you're doing outside of woodworking?
School. Hanging out with my friends. Homework.
What do you and your friends do these days?
Oh, just hang out, go places, this, that.
Riding bicycles? Nobody's
so
riding
anymore.
Bicycles?
Not really.
Are you taking those stupid electric moped things, whatever, that I see on the sides of sidewalks?
Like scooters and stuff?
Yeah, whatever they call those.
Not really.
E-things or whatever. I don't know what they are.
No.
They're trying to get everybody to do that instead of bicycles. I miss bicycles on the road.
I haven't rode my bike in a while.
What, you got a BMX or you got a racer?
Just like a regular bike, but I haven't rode in a while.
Is it in the garage full of dust?
Yeah. So is my sister's bike.
You got a compressor, no?
Yeah, I do.
Then blow it.
Yeah, but then it's going to get dusty in 2 seconds again.
Then blow it again. That's what the compressor's there for. Yeah.
I've been using my compressor a lot recently.
For what reason?
It's like nailing stuff. I also use it just for blowing things off.
How come you're not going the battery way? All the cool kids are battery tools instead of pneumatic tools.
Yeah.
I love pneumatic tools. And I always like, when you start setting up the pneumatic things, go to Princess Auto and buy all the adapters, the fitting,
yep.
and get your Teflon tape and just start hooking everything up. So then everything's just all plugged in and ready to rock and roll.
When I went to Harbor Freight for the first time when I was in like the States a while ago, I bought like that exact kit pretty much. With all like the different adapters. I only really use one, but.
But I'm assuming the majority of the industry is going battery-ish.
Yeah, like I have a battery 18 gauge nail gun. I have like a battery pin nailer.
Is it heavy?
The battery one, like, it's not that heavy, but it's heavy. But like, I also have like the pneumatic ones. The pneumatic ones are just lighter.
I just find the pneumatic ones better. I don't think the battery ones give you perfect depth the same every time. I think they're slightly off every so often, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I use mine for like different things. If I'm just doing like a couple nails, I'll just do the battery one.
You don't have to replenish the tank and everything, get it all going. But if you're doing a full day of woodworking and you know you got these tasks at hand, fire it up.
Yeah. It's like I was building the mold for the river tabletop in my basement. I just brought the battery powered one in the basement and just started nailing it together. Just easier.
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind Aquastop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, Aquastop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and Aquastop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with Aquastop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
They both have their uses in my
shop. Yeah, 100%.
Like, I use all my tools for everything.
But everybody just goes on this whole battery,
you
know, vengeance or something. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, they just want to get rid of the pneumatic and get rid of the air. And I'm like, oh, the hose is in the way. Really? The hose is in the way?
No, it's not.
Cities have been built with a bunch of hoses in the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't understand this hoses in the way thing.
Mm-hmm. As I said, like, I have a lot of battery, but I also have a lot of corded and, like, pneumatic tools. And I wouldn't want to get rid of one just like use the other. I use them all, like, evenly, I guess.
When you go to the trade shows or you go and talk to other people that have far more experience than you, are they very willing to give up trade secrets?
Yeah.
Or are they secretive with them?
No, like, I'm in, like the maker space, and, like, I guess you could say it trades, but, like, I'm not really in, their business kind of thing. So I guess they have no problem telling me things.
No,
But people are also like very open. They don't know. Everybody's like very supportive, and like everybody likes to talk to each other and help people out.
Yeah, but I find with woodworkers, they want to try to keep, like, your blackjack table, their cards close, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to give up all the secrets. They might give you a secret that's already out in the open there, so everyone's already aware of this one. But I know that woodworkers, as crafty as they are, they figure out a lot of things on how to do things, but sometimes they don't want to share those things for everybody else because that becomes their signature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they keep that as a secret, but they'll get rid of other things that are already out there.
It's like at like workbench con and like makers camp, everybody just talks to each other. Everybody just says this, says that. Like, everybody's pretty open.
You taking notes? Is that what the idea is? Or?
Like, workbench con's like more like, I guess, like, note-oriented. Like, it's, like, more of, like, a learning thing, like, courses and that, but Makers Camp's, like, all hands-on. Makers Camp's this weekend. I just couldn't go this year, so I was busy with school.
Where is it at?
The Catskills.
New York. Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't make it because of school?
Yeah.
You could have got a permission slip to get out of here. Yeah. No?
I mean, I guess I could have, but, like, just, like, a lot of work with school this year.
How many days would you be gone?
I would have been leaving yesterday or the day before. It's so only like
lost 2 days.
Yeah.
Next I'm not year. A parent, so I'd be like, go ahead, break your arm. It's fine.
But hopefully I'll go to workbench con this year too. It'll be my third time.
When's that supposed to happen?
It's like the end of February, like early March. It's like 3 days long. It's over my falls over my birthday every single year. I like going.
It's awesome. Good to have that connected to it. So you go to the show and then you celebrate your birthday there. You get to a certain age, you start bringing it to bars.
Yeah. That'll be a couple more years. No, in the States it's 21.
On the books, it's 21. I'm pretty sure some U.S. citizens might drink a little earlier than that.
Yeah, probably.
Just saying.
Yeah.
No, I'm not encouraging you to drink. I'm just saying that it's good to, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to go to the trade show. Everyone's going to be talking.
Yeah.
Business and everything like that. But then they want to get to know you personally as well, right? Yeah. So they're like, here, let's go to dinner. Let's go to a bar. Let's go whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you start. And then that's when the real secrets start to come out where they'll share a bit more, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's valuable that the older and the younger kind of make this connection about sharing all these secrets because it only benefits the overall industry.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's not that many younger.
Why is that?
I think people are just trying to get into it. They just look at other people online and all this and be like, I don't know how I'm supposed to be able to do all that. Like, look at all the tools and all the resources they have. But in reality, just go on YouTube, learn this, learn that. You don't have to start with all the tools.
You start with one tool.
Yeah, I started with one tool. It's just tool. A drill. And this too.
Yeah, right. You just start with one tool. Nobody that has any kind of skills regarding woodworking or trades or anything construction was given a truckload of everything that you need to make it happen. Nobody has, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like I know there's a couple kids that do like woodworking on like Instagram. There's not very
U.S.
many.
Kids or European kids.
U.S. Yeah.
I wonder what the European kids are doing.
Probably not woodworking.
You don't think so? Like, you don't think there's some kind of versions of you?
Like, maybe there might be.
Or something like that? I don't
know. There might be.
I think there would be. I think there's probably some interesting kids in different countries there.
I just don't know. Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking they have a different mindset, right? Like, there's a lot of, you know, the whole world of stereotomy? Nope. About framing with angles and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Timber framing and how to intersect pieces of wood and stuff like that. I can't wrap my head. I've had the guys on the show several times and we've talked about it. I interviewed a guy who actually worked on the Notre Dame restoration from the fire, right?
Oh, wow.
And he's a stereotomist, right? And it's fascinating stuff. I just can't wrap my head around it. But that's coming out of Europe. That's where these kids are learning in certain schools in France.
Wow.
And Germany and also Japan. Like, it's just hand cut connection points. It's insane what they can do. It's all, a lot of it now is being done CNC, like it's all machinery being used, automated. Right? But it's still, you have to figure it out before you actually do it, right? I can't wrap my head around it. It's difficult. Like,
It's like I'm good at like, I guess it all ties into like math kind of.
It's like all friggin' math.
Yeah.
Like insane amount.
I'm really good at basic math. Not like when it gets like to the complicated like graphing and all that. That's like, I don't even know.
You better at metric or imperial?
Imperial. I always use like inches and.
But in class, school is all metric.
Unfortunately, yeah. I find imperial so much easier.
But then you get the Europeans coming here and they're like, I don't understand.
And they're like 10,000 millimeters. What is that?
It's 2 mil. It's 2 mil. No, it's not. It's just shy of an eighth. What's wrong with you, man?
It's 1/16. Yeah, I don't know. I find the fractions like way easier than like millimeters.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in like makerspace trades, they all use imperial, just easier.
What's the 2x4? Is it 200 mil?
No clue.
I don't know.
I know
they actually say that in the drawing, huh? I'm like, what? Actually, what? Everything's metric, and I'm like,
it just sounds so much better.
It's 3.5 inches.
Yeah, 2x4, like 3.5 inches by an inch and a half. It just sounds better. It's also like easier to like add and subtract. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty good with like adding and subtracting fractions because of like just looking at tape measure for so long.
So much easier. I think way it's easier. Yeah. But it's still good. I tried it. I gave it a shot. Like, you try to get a tape measure with both of them under.
Yeah.
But your eye only goes to the imperial. I never tried
it. The numbers are just bigger. They're just easier to
You still glimpse at the metric and going, okay, all right, that measurement is equal. All right, yeah, okay.
Million millimeters.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, you, like 1,000. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
You taking any kind of new woods or new ideas? Or, like, is anybody trying to come up with new ideas with, I guess, environmentally friendly woods?
Not that I've heard of.
No?
I'm sure there is. Like, I'm sure, like, big box stores are, like, trying to move towards that, but I'm not sure.
What do you mean, like? I know that America, some parts of America use a lot of finger joint stud, like finger joint framing.
Like, I know, like, 2x4s that are just solid, but, like, 2x3s and 2x2s are, like, smaller. Finger joint. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, like, scraps they put together.
Yeah. But you ever thought about taking that stuff and using it in a woodworking project? Trying to take traditional construction materials and make it into a woodworking project.
Not really.
No?
No.
Did you see the one idiot online that made a whole kitchen out of OSB?
Really?
Like the cabinets, the kitchen cabinets, the counter, the floor was all OSB.
I wouldn't imagine that would be like too nice.
It's very ugly. It's just horrific looking. It makes no sense.
Even if you tried to paint it, you'd still see it.
He just varnished the hell out of it. And I mean, I'm glad that he used the stamp side down so then you didn't have the stamps on the face of it, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't know why somebody would want to do that.
Because it's a tradesperson going, hey, I'm a furniture maker too. I can do this. Yeah.
With OSB.
It's OSB didn't work out.
No.
It's not a good project.
That's pretty funny.
But I used to do that in the early days. I used to take construction material and like, I wonder what the stain would look like on this. I wonder what would happen if I did this.
Well, actually, like at the beginning, I used to just use like Home Depot pine on my projects. Not like rough like materials, but like just like 1x4s.
You ever
like
get the knots bleeding?
No, I usually get like the clear stuff.
The clear stuff?
Yeah.
I used to do some of those projects as well, but I would always get the knots, and then you go to the paint store and like, oh, you got to shellac this and do this.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's still bleeding, man.
Yeah, it's like I was building the mini bar fridge that's just like plywood at the base, but I painted it. I do not like painting.
At all?
Maybe just a little bit, but like.
You got to get into spraying.
Yeah, that's probably easier.
Use your pneumatics to spray.
Because like I start rolling and then somehow like all the paint ends up on my arms and my fingers.
You got to spray. Yeah. But then if you're in the garage, you got to be conscious of the winter months because you can't spray when it's too cold. And then you got to be conscious of what's around you because you want to overspray on everything. Like So you're going to have to build a spray booth at that point.
Well, I don't really like paint that often. Like I rarely paint. But when I do, it's like it ends up all over me.
But when you're finishing things, you're using some sort of. Are you using the oils only?
Oils, pretty much.
Just oils, right?
Wax oil, yeah.
Did you oil the watch?
No, it was just painted.
It was just painted on there, right?
It was like a shinier. It was just spray paint, but it was like a shinier spray paint.
What oil were you using again?
For the clock?
Any of the projects.
Oh, I don't really have one. I kind of just use whatever's in front of me. Open the drawer. Oh, what's this? Sure, use that. I don't really have like a set brand I use.
Okay, no, I was just curious because I know that some people are religious with some people are not whatever.
I'm like, no, it doesn't really matter to me.
It's oil, man. Like
it's all the same.
Yeah, that's how I look at it, no?
It's all the same, just different labels.
Why don't you start like Evan's class or something like that? You start teaching the kids so you get more kids doing it. So you speak to the kids of your own age, right? Or like you started how long ago now?
I've been doing like the Instagram like woodworking for like 6 years now.
Yeah.
I started like my actual Instagram like 2018.
Okay.
End of 2018.
So there's probably kids that are at that same age right now that are probably wanting to listen to a person like you instead of listen to us moron adults, right? You know what I mean? They're like, they're always going to talk down to us. You only speak to them, right?
Yeah. It's kinda like, I know sense. In like my woodshop class in school, like a lot of kids ask me questions. Just sort of like, how are you so good at like sanding? I'm like, I've sanded a lot.
Because it ain't the first time I'm sanding.
Yeah, I've sanded a lot of things.
What are they doing that's making them so bad at sanding?
Oh, well, they don't really use, like, power sanders. They're using, like, little sheets of sandpaper that have been used, like, by, like, 20 other kids. It has, like, no grit left in it.
There's no grit.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you might as well just take a sheet of paper and then.
Yeah, you get a better result. Cardboard.
So they don't understand that? That's how the sanding
material
works?
Yeah, it's like people, like you know, cut it out roughly on a bandsaw, and then you got to sand the edges, make it smooth. Like these kids go from bandsaw to like hand sandpaper. I'm like, you're gonna be doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I show them. I take their piece like the belt sander, the sander. I'll do it for them quickly, and they're like, wow, I should be doing that. Why didn't I think of that?
How's the teacher in the shop class?
It's his first year teaching.
He's coming from what?
More of like a computer design background, I think.
And he's teaching shop.
Yeah.
Connect the dots for me on that one.
It's like he's a shop teacher. Like what else can
I say? Do you go from computer career to shop teacher?
Well, I guess he has like all the requirements through like the school board to become like a shop teacher or something.
Yeah, I don't know this whole world. So he has all the teaching requirements.
Yeah.
The credits or whatever.
But like it's his first year teaching shop.
But does he know how to do shop?
Yeah, I think so.
Has he found out that you have more talent than he does?
I mean, on the first day, I'm like, you know, I do this stuff at home. I showed him my Instagram page and like some of my projects.
How did he react?
He's like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
Do you want to teach his class?
And then he said, like, oh, like when like we're building, we'd be a little bit more like free range. But it's like he hasn't really done that yet.
Does he have potential to learn?
I think everybody has potential to learn.
No, but he's the teacher.
Yeah.
Does he know what he's talking about when it comes to shop? Or does he know just what he's talking about when it comes to teaching?
More when it comes to teaching.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But he should really have some sort of sense of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a way to find out if he's watching your videos?
No clue.
No, there's no idea. He's probably watching the videos to try to figure out.
Probably.
If he's got time to look at it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just find that strange. The school hired somebody who doesn't really have...
So there's like two shop teachers. There's like this one who teaches grade 9 and 10, and there's a different one who teaches 11 and 12. But
so what's the CV of the other one?
She's been doing it like a long time. It's like she knows her stuff.
Okay, cool.
I haven't really talked to her yet, but like next semester when I have like grade 11 which shop, I'm sure I'll get the opportunity.
Then you'll get, okay, she'll teach you at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. But now, for now, you're in?
Grade 10, wood shop.
I don't know. I have a problem with this guy teaching wood shop, man. I have a problem with it.
You haven't even met him yet.
No, but I don't see anything on the paper.
Yeah.
So I'm like, does he know how to carry the conversation?
I guess.
When you talk to him, does he have a blank look in his face? Like sometimes when you're driving at night and you see a deer and like they just freeze. Does he look like that? A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Like, now he knows a little bit.
He knows a little bit?
Yeah. But like, also we're building like simple projects. Like, it really doesn't take that much.
Like, what? What's a simple project to you?
Like, the first project we did like last week was like making like a wooden biplane.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like just like simple pine pieces, but it's like drill press, bandsaw, disc sander. Like,
those are, like, do you guys get to go to the roof of the school and throw the plane off and see if
it flies? Oh no, these don't fly. They're just like toys, kind of.
Yeah, but you know Red Bull does that whole thing, right?
Yeah, they do.
So why don't you guys do that with yours?
Because our planes would end up in like six pieces.
If they're poorly built.
Yeah.
What if they're built well and they actually catch some air? Would that make more sense? So you guys can learn a little bit of engineering as well.
Yeah, too. But like the planes are not like aerodynamic. They're just like, the wings are just flat. I should have brought it. I got it.
You have it?
Not here.
How big is it? And it won't fly?
It's like kind of heavy.
Made out of pine?
Yeah, they're not meant to fly.
How thin are the wings?
Quarter inch. Pine.
Should be able to fly, man.
No, maybe I'll test it later.
If you're building a plane, let's say if you built a boat, I remember you built your boat, but if you built the boat, it should float.
I hope the boat floats, but yeah, it floated.
But it did.
Yeah.
Because you built it, and you built it the way that you knew that, hang on a sec, this shouldn't leak, right? So it should.
I mean, well, I actually didn't really know if it was going to like
sink. You gave it a try.
I gave it a try. But like, I did all the calculations.
All the kids throw them on, and whoever crashes and burns, it's just like you fail. That's it. Okay. Come back. Done. Now everyone's got an objective to build a proper plane.
That'd be cool. I actually like that idea.
You never know. You might get a job with some sort of aviation company. I'm just trying to expand. I'm not a teacher. Yeah. I'm just trying to expand the principle behind it. It's good, one thing, to aesthetically build something, but if there's a function behind that thing, then there should be focus on the purpose, right?
Yeah.
That's just my thought personally when it comes to education.
Yeah.
So we can build all kinds of stuff, and it goes, it's connected to construction and woodworking. It's the same thing, right? You can build something that's beautiful, but if it doesn't serve the purpose of what it's supposed to do, then what's the point? If it's
not strong, then like...
Yeah. You build a chest or something, a dresser or something like that.
And then I put like a shirt on it, it collapses like that.
Exactly. And like, okay, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is. Yeah. It doesn't work right. So that's, the plane should fly a little bit, right?
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I think.
Yeah.
That's just my thought process, but...
No, but I do like that idea, actually, like building something not just for looks, but for the actual, like,
I think everything you build should have a function associated with the aesthetic. Everything. There should, and I think if you look at it that way, it will make you to, it'll get you to redesign things, and it'll get you to build things slightly different.
Yep.
It will, instead of just focus on the look of it.
You'd learn so much more building something
that way. It's relevant to automotion, like automotive industry, where it's, they designed, I was just having this conversation with somebody. We're like, do you realize that the way that this is curved on the taillight, it's to resist, it's to create less friction on air, on drag. And cool. that little subtle thing, and that's function behind the design. Yeah. So I think it's 100% applicable to woodworking.
Oh, for sure.
Right? 100%. So most people just come up with ideas that looks great, whatever. Yeah, but it doesn't work well.
And then what's the point?
There's no point at that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So I'm always fascinated by, especially furniture, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you don't see a Happy Manny at IKEA. It doesn't make any sense, no. Man. Like, there's no...
okay, but...
There's one function too heavy on and one function too aesthetic on. Yeah. And neither one of them marry, right? That's the problem with it. So it's just disposable woodworking is what that is, right? Which we understand. We get it.
Yeah, there's a whole market for that, clearly. So...
But then there's a market, I think, for... Like, I had a woodworker here, a guy, super nice guy, Mike... Huber Machine is his handle, and he built this stunning drafting table, like stunning mixture of metal and wood, and I was like, that's amazing. And then I asked him how much, and I was like, I would love to own it, but I don't have that. I'd rather buy a motorcycle, you know what I mean? Like, he put a lot of work into that, right? And it's ironic, he's actually trying to swap it out for a motorcycle. He has to buy a motorcycle for it, like they're gonna do an even swap on it.
Yeah.
And he was asking my opinion, you think that's a good trade? And I was like, is the bike finished or is this all in parts and you got to do the bike? He goes, it's all in parts. I got to do the bike. I go, no, it's not a fair trade, man. Yours is finished, ready to go. Yeah. The bike you're going to spend the next year and a half working on to make it ready to go.
At that point, might as well just give the guy like the raw materials to build the drafting stand.
But then would you have the know-how to do it the way he did it? Because he put a lot of interest in it. But he was still conscious of the function. It's a drafting table. Yeah. So there's rules associated with that drafting table. You know, the way how easy it is to angle, how easy it is to move the ruler, that's all part of the intricate of the woodworking part of it. So that's why he put a lot of care into that. So when he was asking a certain figure amount, I was going, I see why it's that much. I totally appreciate it. But the average.
It looks nice and it's very, very, very functional.
These are two really important things.
Yep.
You can have all the prettiest things you want, but if they don't function properly, then they're completely useless.
For sure.
That's about maybe 90% of the celebrities out there. I have such a hatred for those people, whatever, but it doesn't matter. Because they have no skills, really. That's all it is. So I have a lot of respect for people who have skills.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is, you have to get a little bit of that, and they have to get a little bit of us, and then you put the two together, and then you get a nice medium at that point, right?
Yeah.
That's it. What are you sketching these days? What do you want to build? What's getting bigger, grander that you want to build?
Oh, well, I've been saying this for a while, but I need to build, like, a hand tool cabinet. Because, like, I have a lot of...
Like a chest? Like a...
Like, on the wall kind of thing with, like, opening doors.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have, like, a lot of hand tools. Like, over, like, the past couple years, like, I've really grown, like, my hand plane collection. Because, like, I've been restoring them. Actually, last weekend, I was at the antique hand tool show in Pickering.
That must have been cool.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Did you find anything that you liked?
I got like a screwdriver. That was pretty cool.
What was, like, so cool about it?
You like unscrew this and like something comes out and like you push it down and it starts spinning.
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, I thought it was really cool. I've never seen it before.
That's old school, man.
Yeah. For $10.
Guys used to build homes with those things.
Yeah. I tried using them. Like, how do people use this?
You know about the hand drill?
Yeah, the egg beater one. Yeah.
I know my dad had one of those long time ago.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous hard to use, man.
So much easier. Put a bit, press a trigger, you're done. Your hole's done.
So where are you getting your inspiration for your tool cabinet?
Just like various like other people's designs and like that kind of thing. Just like, it's like kind of simple, just like box, door, maybe like plexiglass door so I can see the tools, and like inside the hand planes are kind of just like angled a little bit so they stay.
How many tools are we talking about here?
How many hand tools do I have?
Like 20 or so?
Probably a little bit more. Probably closer to like 30.
I'm trying to figure out how you would display that so then it looks good, but it also is easy to get to each one of them, and then also easy to return and put back into its
spot. Well, I know like a lot of people like this is the cabinet.
Yeah.
There's like a little thing like this that's angled. The hand planes go like this, like, angled a bit, and there's like magnets in there. And they hold it, and then you take it out, just a magnet.
You know what would be cool? You ever see, I've always wanted to build one of these, and maybe one day before I build my pine box and I'm ready for the ground, you know what I mean? I'll come up with, you ever see an architect's dresser drawer? Like really thin drawers that they put all their drawings in?
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen one of those? Like it's just a bunch of thin drawers that you pull out and there's a full set of blueprints in there.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? It's like you'll probably see it in antique shops. Like there's a lot of these older ones, but I'd love to recreate one brand new but make it look like old school.
That's cool.
And you were just talking about the magnets and I started thinking, why can't you build your tool cabinet, your hand cabinet, or hand tool cabinet in a vertical application like that? So you have a bunch of vertical drawers that you pull out each one and it has all your screwdrivers.
That's cool.
You pull out the next one, it has all your saws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that way it's easy to stay organized, and when you pull out one section of it, it's easy to see which one you need to use, and then you put it back in its place.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of cool. It's a lot of work.
I have still a couple projects to finish, but I want to get to that.
Like what? The
blackjack table, my mom's thing. I have like a couple boards to make for somebody.
Like what? Presentation boards?
Just like steak boards, juice groove.
Okay, all right.
Laser engraving. Laser engraving, it's good because like people like getting things like customized, like personalized. So I can really do that quickly.
I don't know if I asked you this last time, but I usually ask woodworkers all the time. I love the idea of these butcher blocks that all these guys are building, and they go through every geometric shape of wood and they put it all together, and then they just cake it all up with glue. Do you not eat glue when you're chopping up material on it?
No. Because I know it looks like a lot of glue, but like... like when it's drying, it's dry. But then when you flatten it, it gets it all down.
But then when you're chopping stuff on that board, you're using it. Are you not consuming some of the wood and glue?
No.
You're not?
And even if you are, like the glue used, like once everything's like fully dried and like cured, like it's food safe. So it's okay.
All the glues are?
No, not all. Some.
I mean, I'm seeing these guys like use Typon 3 or something like that.
So that's probably fine.
That's probably fine? Typon 3?
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure somebody's done some research into it, but I'm pretty sure that like actually using the glue and like letting it fully dry is fine. And I'm also like the boards are like clamped so tight together, like you're not even, the glue's like there.
It's minimum like, amount of glue.
So minimal.
But they just use so many different shapes and like keep on making cuts and then they clamp it again.
Well,
and
they glue, and they cut, glue, cut, glue.
Listen, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I don't mind eating wood. It's totally fine. Yeah. It doesn't bother me. It's just the small micro amounts of glue that I'm wondering, okay, is that a bad thing? But I guess you could probably get...
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Because in my eyes, is that as beautiful as those butcher blocks are, that people are making these beautiful butcher blocks, which I love and I appreciate, and the designs and everything like that, what I love is when I want to see that carving out in the center, that it's been used over time, because then it served its purpose. You know what I mean? I never understood anybody who has a pristine kitchen and nothing's like, there's no chips or nothing, like it hasn't been used. I want to see these things used.
Yeah, like I know like a number of years ago, I built my mom like a cutting board and like she's so scared to use it. Cause like
that makes no sense to me. See?
Getting like cuts in it, but there's plenty of cuts in there now, but
yeah,
she used to be scared of it.
Was it made out of walnut?
It's like exotic woods. There's like some padauk, some zebra wood, some purple heart, like that type of thing.
Oh, I've never tasted those. Those would be good, man. I would love to taste those. That's great. Because you're going to get the wood shavings in your food. Listen, I'm a guy who put a steak on charcoal. That's wood.
I think it's better eating wood than it is eating plastic.
1,000%. You don't see anybody on online YouTube channel going, here's my latest chopping board made out of plastic and I've glued all this stuff together and shaped it and formed
that
it.
That would not be good.
That makes no sense to me. So I'd rather eat the wood. I just have a little reservation on the glue.
Yeah.
Unless they start making food grade. Type on 4, food grade.
Yeah.
Wonder what color it would be.
Clear, maybe.
It has to be clear or something like that.
No, I think, I know, like, a lot of the glue is, like, dry, clearish. But it's not the color that matters.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. You know what? The one thing I want to build that I wouldn't mind building because I get a kick out of it is picnic tables for squirrels. I think they're the coolest thing ever. You ever seen that?
Yeah, I have to. Like, they go like on like a fence.
Yeah, and then they literally sit on the bench part while they're eating the nuts.
It's cool. I don't know if the squirrels will actually sit on it, but
they do. I've seen it, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever because they figure out how to sit on there, right? And all squirrels anyway, when they fall, they land like a superhero, right? So they always have that pose. So when they see a picnic table there, they literally sit on the bench and then have their nuts.
That's really funny.
I think it's hilarious.
Simple project.
That's a simple project to do, right? You probably do a whole series of Evan squirrel tables. Different woods.
Yeah.
No, it has to be pine. No?
Yeah.
Be pine because it's going to get weathered, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't do anything too crazy.
There's no purpose in giving them a walnut picnic table.
And I don't even have a walnut picnic table, so why do the squirrels need one?
Squirrels are basically rats with bushy tails. That's all they are, right? So
yeah.
A pine picnic table is good enough for them.
Exactly. Good enough for me, too.
You, have you built a birdhouse or anything? Like, no. Outdoor projects?
Not really.
A trellis? Gate?
Oh, I built, like, for, like, our back deck for the dog. There's, like, a gate. So the dog can't, like, run away.
That's pretty cool.
That was, like, just, like, pressure-treated wood.
What did you do? Like, what was the, what did you do? Go vertical?
Yeah, like vertical, then just, like, a little frame around it. Hinged onto the deck.
Did you cross-brace it?
Yeah, I did actually.
All right, so here's
it's the still question. Standing. It's been like many years since I built that.
Did you cross brace it from the top down? The top is on the on the strike side, or and the down is on the hinge side, or the reverse? Did you put the top brace on the hinge side and the down on the strike side?
I think it was like this.
But which side is the hinges on?
The hinge is on this side, and the latch is on this side.
So you did it correctly.
Yeah.
Because of gravity, right?
Yeah.
That's why it works. Get a lot of DIYers, they'll do it the other way around. And a year later, the fence, the gate is like sinking. Yeah. It's like leaning down.
No, my gate's still standing.
So you did it right. You put it on the right angle. Yeah. So look at a bridge. Mm-hmm. That's all it is, right?
Yeah.
What else are you going to build?
I mean, I know I've been saying I want to build another boat for like a long time, but...
Like a bigger boat?
A bigger, better boat. But I just don't think it's feasible right now.
I started following this guy. Well, it's not this guy, this company. They make old... wooden sailboats, like they have a huge steam, and then they pull it out really quickly, and then all the guys come along with, like, you're talking about a board's probably 50 feet long, and then they clamp it onto the framing of the boat, and then they start clamping each one, getting it in place. So then as it starts to dry, it stays that shape, and I'm like, that's like old school, man.
Yeah, but like, especially if I were to build another boat, it'd be like bigger and better, and like that wouldn't be so cheap. I need like a sponsor for that project.
But you're going to have to steam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you're going to use.
Because like my old boat, like great learning experience and like I'm really happy it worked. But it's just like a small 6-foot boat, like Home Depot would. If I was doing it again, I'd go like all out.
So make a bigger boat. Put a sail on it.
No, I want like an engine.
You want to put an engine on it?
Yeah, just like an outboard motor.
Do it out of mahogany, man. Like try to get a, like do a replicant of a like yeah.
So a lot of the, like those old school like wooden boats are super nice.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
You ever been in one of those boats?
I've looked at them.
It's a piece of furniture. Like, you don't really want to touch anything. It's just insane how beautiful it is, nice. Right? But the craftsmanship, like I'm talking about like I was in one that was over 100 years old.
Wow.
So it was maintained. It was taken care of. Like, I mean, that wood in that boat, the design and everything was designed to last over the years, right?
Yeah, clearly.
And that's why it looks the way it looks, right?
A lot of the things are built like a long time ago or were made to last.
So if it was made then, someone figured out how to do it. So it should be able to be make it now, right?
I know there's like companies that have like sell plans for them.
But really?
Like I feel like I'd want to do it like all myself, like my own design.
Yeah, but you can always take one of their plans and then modify it to yours, yeah, I can right? Do that. At least get some of the tricks that they figured out there.
Yeah. It's pretty cool though.
What's one with day. The fascination of boats, man?
I just like boating. Like I have my boating license. I just enjoy
You need a license for boating?
Yeah. It's okay. It's like how it works is like now that I'm 16 I can drive like any horsepower boat by myself. But like younger, like let's say I'm like 15, I can only drive like a 30 horsepower boat by myself, or if it's more I have to be supervised by somebody over the age of 16 with their license. And like as like younger, as you get younger, like the horsepower by yourself goes down.
And as you get older it goes up?
Well now I'm 16, I can drive anything.
Doesn't matter how much horsepower?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter the size of the boat?
Nope.
But before 16 you had limitations?
Yeah. But now I can drive a boat. Like not that I'm gonna drive a boat, but
so now you want to build a wooden boat, put a motor on it, and then drive it. And hope it doesn't sink.
I hope it's not sink, yeah. But I think that's like a long time away.
I don't know. It's as long as you want to make it.
Yeah.
That's how long it is, right? Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out how long it's going to take you to draw it. Figure out a piece of wood.
I think it'd take me longer to draw than to build.
But then there's got to be programs out there these days, no? Yeah, there's for sure. So you can help you with the drawing. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is take their drawings and then modify it to your drawing ideas. Yeah. On what you want to do, and then put it together. You got to get used to doing the paper first, man.
I know. That's like the one thing my shop teacher tells me. You got to do the paper.
But are they making you do all paper drawings on your project? So were you asked to do a drawing of the plane?
So we have to do like these things called like the orthographic drawings. You know what those are?
No.
So it's like you draw one view, and then like you do the lines, you draw a second view, and then with those lines you connect it, and like
you're doing plan and elevation. Yeah, you're doing different sides, but so then you...
I'm just not great at doing those drawings. I have to get better at that.
You should take a stereonomy course. I'm telling you that right now, man. It's a hard course, but it's gonna challenge you seriously, man. Yeah.
Because I always like a good challenge.
It makes you look at three-dimensional objects in a new light, man.
Yeah.
And you'll probably figure it out. I'll never figure it out. I respect the guys and girls that know how to do it. But it's I think you'll get the wheels spinning with you, man. Like just go on, or even reach out to Patrick. I'll connect you with Patrick Moore. He teaches it online.
All right.
So he starts with the basics and goes from there, right? And I think you'll pick it up right away. It's fascinating. Like it's just like we've had some of this stuff. I don't have it in here anymore. We had some of this stuff here from the time that Fred was here, and he came a couple of times, and he always brings me a gift, right? Yeah. He actually did this stuff.
Joinery.
This is all hand.
Oh, cool.
Did it by hand, right? That pencil there is from a monastery that he was part of building, a monk monastery. So he brought it to me outside of Ottawa. So, yeah, he took the course. He loves it, and he's still training. And he's a framer, too, but he's also the stereonomy.
That's cool. Those go together, the framing and that.
Yes and no, because there's a lot of framers in the industry that don't even understand that stereonomy side of things. But a lot of the stereonomists, they understand the framing side of things, and they just look at the framing as really, really basic woodworking versus stereonomy. Like when you look at, you just look online. If you go online and look at some of the details from Notre Dame or any kind of older buildings, that it was all wood frame at first, and especially the roof side, right? Like they had to figure out how to put all those rafters in there, all the tails, and how they all interconnect, right?
It's fascinating. It's really cool.
It's very, very cool.
I like experimenting with new things. even if just for like not like for a product, I just like trying things.
See, the cool thing about the class is that it starts off with small projects. So you literally are just getting scraps of wood that you have in your shop.
Yep.
And then you just do this. You'll probably just do the corner of a roof detail. And you'll just figure out how to get three pieces of wood intersecting at one point. And you draw that out first. They'll teach you how to draw it out first. And then once you draw it out, it gives you a floor plan on how to put that together.
That's cool.
And then you cut the wood in that shape that you've designed. And then all of a sudden, he said it. It just happens. It just connects once you figure out the drawing and the math. Hmm. And I still don't get it, though.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Well, once the math checks out, I guess everything checks out.
Okay, what else do you want to talk about? I'm going to get you to do the 12 questions again because there's new questions. People were listening to the show and they're like, you need to do some new questions, man. And I was like, yeah, I kept some of the old classic ones, but yeah. I made some new ones. But anything else new?
I don't know. No, I've just been busy.
You got all kinds of swags now? You got like Evan Workshop tees, hoodies,
no hoodies,
caps,
hats, yeah.
Oh, I do have one question for you.
Yeah.
What's with all you guys in the llama haircuts? What's all going on out
there?
That's
funny because my dad says that too. It's like, why does everybody have like an alpaca haircut? It's like all the hair on top. I don't know. Everybody's hair is just
when
like
you
that.
Go to the shop, you go to the stylist. What are you asking for that style?
Funny enough, I actually just got a haircut yesterday.
So what is with that style that all you boys are wearing?
I don't know. Everybody just gets.
Where did it come from? Where did it start?
I have no clue.
I just say it's better than having your jeans like halfway down your bum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of makes more sense, but I still don't understand.
Yeah. That's funny because like everybody's like, all your hair is the same. Like, do you guys plan that? No, everybody's hair is the same.
It is. You guys all look like I don't know. You all look the same.
Yeah.
It's just different tones. Maybe there's a little bit more cut on the side.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys are embracing all that coverage of forehead because as you get older, you'll be revealing the forehead as us older guys are doing.
Hopefully not, but I like my hair, but.
I was at a high school event recently and all the boys all had that style.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
It's popular.
And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I'm at the Metro Toronto Zoo. That's what I was telling the guy that brought me, man. What else you want? Nothing else before I get this? We got anything else you want to share? Did he cover everything? Did he cover everything?
I could cover everything, yeah.
Yeah? Was I communicating with you first or was I communicating with your mom?
It goes both ways.
Yeah, okay. But your dad's still on the page as well too? Oh, he's not, huh?
No, it's just my mom.
Okay. He was back then. He's too busy these days, huh?
Yeah.
It was good to meet you. It's fine. Evan_workshop on IG, evansworkshop.ca on his YouTube channel as well, In the Shop with Evan. You got some cool music on there or on the videos? Or?
Yeah, it's like popular trending Instagram sounds and music.
Is it called though In the Shop or is it called In DA Shop?
No, it's in the.
Like 50 Cent, you know what I mean? In the shop. No, go shorty.
Yeah.
No?
No, just In the Shop with Evan.
evansworkshop@icloud.com.
Yeah.
What's your favorite construction word or phrase? What's your favorite woodworking word or phrase?
Good one or bad one?
Both.
I mean, like, usually when something, like, works out, I'm like, nice. Nicely. That. When something does not
you actually do the fist and everything?
Sometimes I'm like, nice. So I get it first try. I'm like, nice.
And then things go wrong? Least favorite tool?
Probably the, man, I use all my tools.
Just say any DeWalt tool.
I only have one.
I know, the track saw. Yeah. Everyone who listens knows that I just jab DeWalt as much as I can.
My least favorite tool is probably like, the right angle drill.
Yeah, but that's such a convenient tool.
I have it. I don't think I ever used it.
You have the adapter or you have a full fixed thing.
Fixed thing.
Why do you have one?
I have no. Good question.
That's a plumber's tool.
That's
a home automation tool. That's an electrician tool. I think I've
used it
like
once.
That's for like tight spots when you can't get in.
I think I've used it once and only because I'm like, I've never used this. Let's try it out.
I've got one of the drill driver impacts that have the interchangeable heads where you can do the slight offset, you can do the right angle.
I know Festool has a nice one.
That thing is indispensable. Like, that's right behind a track saw. Like, I love that tool.
I know Milwaukee also has one of those.
They all came out with it.
Yeah.
They're all great. I mean, like, it's a smart tool.
As much as I like one of those, like, do I really need another, some sort of, like, drill driver? No.
You need one of those with all the interchangeable heads. Because that, even in woodworking, that'll come in handy. You'll have to do some sort of fastening in a really tight, awkward spot.
Yep.
And you won't be able to get there with a regular drill head, right? So you'll need that offset one, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I haven't like found the use for it yet.
Do you follow TC Installations, Tony?
I don't think
so. He does a lot of cabinetry installs and stuff like that. He's all Festool.
Yeah.
I think he's got more tools than Festool. You know what I mean? But his compartments, like he has everything that needs to be, that he needs for an installation purpose. And he has all those offsets and everything like that. And there's no sawdust in any of his cabinetry or boxes.
No, there's sawdust like even place. Like, how does that even get there?
He's a surgeon. How does it get there? I don't care. That's the point. I get the blower and I just blow it. Yeah. I don't care.
Oh, I use my blower all the time.
Listen, sawdust in the air, especially with the sun. That's how all the 80s music videos were done. That's how we did them. It was like amazing. It makes the photograph look great. Your shop, you know what you do? You want an amazing photo? You just put the camera outside on a tripod and then just dust everything off. Make sure the sun's coming in. And you'll get all these rays coming into your tools.
That's cool.
And it'll just hit them in a certain light. And you'll be like, try it one day. I'm telling you right now. The sun's got to be at a certain level, like maybe early morning or late evening, if it's shooting in. And get the sawdust up in the air. And you'll see how much you like it, man. I'm telling you right now. Right. You always have sawdust everywhere. You either do that with a fire extinguisher, does the same thing too. But fire extinguisher gets into your mouth.
Yeah, I think I'll try the sawdust.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Not having homework.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
What woodworking sound do you love?
Oh, definitely. I really like... But I'm using like a pneumatic nail gun, like when I press the thing, it's like poof, poof, and done. Yeah, like that.
Until it jams.
And then, but I hate when the tank goes back on and it scares me every time.
When it kicks in?
Yeah.
How big's your tank?
Just like a small one. Just like a pancake one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Not very loud.
Not very loud, but like when I'm in
my
shop.
You can get a muffler. It dampens it a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Any tool shop sells mufflers. Like you got to find the right one. There's one that's pretty universal because I think the thread component there is universal size. Don't quote me on that, but I usually put a muffler on it. It dampens it a tiny bit. It's kind of like putting your hand on it. It kind of muffles it a bit, which works. So it won't scare you as much, but wait until you're like using a 60-gallon or something like that.
Yeah, that'll scare me even more.
That's the shop will rattle. Yeah. My shop favorite beverage?
Coke.
Coke.
Cold Coke is the best.
What turns you on and off in woodworking?
Like when I get something like cut to the right size, like first try, it's like nice.
And you weren't expecting to get it perfectly cut at that time?
It's like sometimes like when I'm doing like a mite or something, I just inch up on it, first try, boom, nice.
And what turns you off?
When I cut something too short and then I have to make a new piece.
You just get the wood stretcher.
That's a thing?
No.
Yeah.
The only thing that is a new piece of wood.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation? It's got to be a boat something, eh?
Yeah, it would probably be a boat.
A boat, eh?
Like
is there a particular boat? I don't know much about boats, but...
Like,
you like go fast boats? Is that what you're talking about?
No, like I would say like a yacht. Like a mega yacht.
A sail yacht or like a diesel engine yacht?
Diesel engine
yacht. You environmentalists, eh?
That's the dream.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day? I think there's the position for a wood shop teacher.
I don't think so.
No?
I
don't want to be like at your school, teacher. I mean.
Yeah. Finance, maybe.
Okay.
I like math. No, I don't like math. I like numbers. Like math, like money numbers.
I'm telling you, man. Look into stereotomy.
I will.
I think you will. You're a sponge for it, man. I'm just like, check it out. Go online, go to YouTube and just check it out.
Whenever I'm like interested in something and like I should pay attention, like I actually like learn. I know it sounds like crazy, but.
No, that's basically the same. I didn't like school, but then I was fascinated by either construction or film. Those are the two things that I was just a sponge for.
There's like a business class I'm taking. And I actually like, I like it. I pay attention. I learn. I don't get distracted. Like, I take my notes and it's good.
Good. What profession would you not like to do? You like everything?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, maybe like... Well, I don't know. It's a good question, actually. I haven't really thought about that.
There's nothing that you don't, you're not envious?
Oh, maybe like a musician. I don't want to be like a musician.
You don't want to be a musician?
No.
There's something you can make. You ever been like drums?
No. Never made
like
drums.
Like hand drums.
Yeah, I could make those. I can make like drumsticks. But I'm bad at music.
You have a lathe?
I don't have a lathe, but I have turned before. Many times.
I like lathes, but I think they're sometimes dangerous, depending on what you're doing.
They can be, yeah.
Yeah, if it's not set up properly, right? Yeah,
but you just have to be mindful of everything.
As you get older, that kind of goes to the side sometimes. Yeah. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
I remember this question from the last time.
Kept that one.
Yep. Probably just like, here's your mega yacht. Your mega yacht with a full workshop.
There's an ocean up there?
Yeah.
There's got to be an ocean, I guess.
Must be, yeah.
Evan, always a pleasure to see you, man.
Thanks so much for having me, Manny.
I really appreciate it, man. It's good to see you again and keep up all the awesomeness that you're doing, man. So, oh, anything going on, Sick Kids, or is there something going on now?
Oh, yeah, I still donate 10% of each of my sales to Sick Kids.
Still doing it? Yeah?
Yeah. So, I don't know. This is recent from the last time, but I did, like, a build with my buddy Paul from Canadian Woodworks. And we built, like, a guitar pick stool, like, Sam Maloof inspired with, like, cocoa bowl legs and curly maple seat.
Oh.
And we auctioned that off, raised $5,000 for Sick Kids.
Wow.
So, like, as, like... Like when I started, like I've raised over $20,000 for Sick Kids, just for like my sales and like my charity builds and like my auctions and that kind of thing.
Good for you.
So I'm still doing it. Hopefully I'll get it. Hopefully I might be doing another charity build soon.
Have any ideas of what you'd be doing? Nothing yet.
Not yet, but I know I enjoy doing them. They're good.
That's impressive, man. That you've contributed that much and then raised that much awareness as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's great. Right?
That's insane. Now, if everybody could do something like that,
yeah. I can do it anybody can
even
do
if
it.
One politician could do that, that'd be amazing, right?
Yeah,
instead of take, maybe give back.
Yeah,
you're giving back a lot. That's amazing. So I wanted you to continue doing that. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah,
right.
I will. So I enjoy doing like the give back part of it. It's a big part of like my woodworking, like my whole thing.
Okay, man, thanks so much. Appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having me. Maybe I'll be back another year and a half.
You tell me, man.
Yeah,
just get rid of the haircut. We're out of here. Thanks, Evan.